B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
First of all, teams were surprised that the league was going to move this quickly to open up facilities starting Friday. None of them knew about this over the weekend. There was a small group of owners that this information was shared with. We got wind of it. We reported it before many teams were aware that this was going to happen this soon. And I think the question, Scott, for a lot of them is why? What is our reasoning for opening up facilities in Georgia, in Florida? Just because those governors decided to do that. One GM said to me tonight, if we need a 15-page memo from the league to get one guy in and out of our building just so we can take shots, get shots up, like maybe the timing's not right.
That is Adrian Wojnarowski, ESPN, talking about the NBA coming back. I thought that was a good way of putting it. That was him relaying what a executive had said, which is if we need a 15-page memo to get guys going into the gym by themselves, what are we doing? Surprising part about this, and by the way, put this down as the first misstep of a league coming back, if we're keeping track of the botches. Here's one. Put one on the sheet for the NBA. And there will be more of those. I mean, this is obviously unprecedented times that we're living in when it comes to Major League Sports. So the NBA had originally said guys could go back to the gym starting Friday, right?
Yeah.
Friday is May 1st. If you're in a state where things are open, you can go back to your gym, individual workouts. And they didn't really fully discuss that with their entire league. And then an individual team, most notably the Atlanta Hawks, said, no, we're not doing this. No, we're not coming back. What is the point of this? And I'm guessing the league didn't expect that. And I didn't expect that. I did not expect to see a team that was in a state that is letting people go back to doing things say, we don't want to do it. I figured, you know, you just sort of assume pro sports teams are going to go back as soon as someone lets them do it. Not the case. Not the case so far.
You're talking about pro sports teams. I mean, this should be unified across the board. This shouldn't be, this team could go back, that team could go back. That gives you an unfair competitive advantage, right? I think it's got to be all done in unison.
But what a misstep by Silver to not sort of communicate this with everybody involved.
It makes no sense. And it's just like everybody freaking out. Well, why is Brady allowed to go talk to Byron Leftwich? That's like illegal. I mean, they're getting a jump. No, he's picking up a playbook. We'll get to that at some point. But that's the way other teams look at it. Well, why should they be allowed to open up and we can't open up? So I don't know. It's just the NBA should have been smarter than this. Should have been a lot smarter than this.
And now they're pushing it back 1 week until May 8th. And I would say this is going to be misstep number two.
Why?
What difference do they think a week is going to make?
You get all your ducks
in
line.
Do they think the Atlanta Hawks by next Friday are going to say, yeah, no, absolutely, we're all in? Like, is 7 days going to make the difference for a team that is telling you, no, we don't want to do this, to turn them into, yes, we want to do this and we will do it? I don't know.
Well, I mean,
I don't know how much a week makes. I don't know why they had to put another date on it. I mean, I would say get on the same page before you start pushing back dates and setting new dates.
Easier said than done, right? But I think this opens it up to a whole nother discussion as to the regular Joe Schmoes. People like us, I think we're eventually going to get to a point where, okay, you're going to have this ease back into things, and it's going to be left up to people or groups whether you feel safe or not. If you want to go to work and you feel comfortable going to work, then maybe you can go to work. But just be careful. You know, you're going to have different patterns as to how you do work. You're not going to shake hands. You're probably going to wear a mask for a while. You're going to watch what you eat, watch what you touch. And there are going to be people with maybe some people at home that are compromised, that you're worried about getting them sick, that aren't going to feel comfortable. And I think we're going to have this mix as a society when we open up here, which I do think is going to come soon. Or it's going to be Armageddon around here. You know, people are going to start taking stuff into their own hands. They're going to do what they want to do when the weather changes. I see people, I got people driving down to Florida because it feels like they're out there doing some normal stuff. I know a buddy that's got a high school down there that's running Pascal against defense right now, where you've got 7-on-7 Pascal, and it's like these are just 16, 17, 18-year-old kids that need to get out, run around, and do things. And they're so used to structure. And kids are freaking out because they don't have that structure right now. This is a problem, I think, across society we're going to be talking about, not just with the NBA.
Hardy, do you have anything on this?
Yeah, I understand what Zoe is saying. There is going to be a fair number of people who say, okay, and they're going to have different reasons for doing it. Some people are just going to be fed up with it. Some people are going to be confused by the lack of coherence and consistency, you know, through different orders / recommendations, whatever. But I think he's absolutely right. I think people are just going to start doing stuff. And we've already
seen it
with governors doing it in opposition to what other government officials at the federal or national level have been saying. So at some point, there's going to be an end to this. Where it gets sticky, and it's interesting that this has been pushed back a week by the NBA, is where there is, you know, an all clear given for something that is not localized.
Right.
You know, here's the NBA saying, all right, everybody back to your facilities, which, you know, say, for instance, the Oklahoma City Thunder, great. You know, they're in Oklahoma. There haven't been a whole lot. I'm using that as an example. Yeah, I don't have the numbers here in front of me. Whereas the Brooklyn Nets might say, what are you, crazy? You know, we're still, you know, in the downward slope of the worst outbreak in the entire country. So this is where it gets really, really difficult to manage from a league level for any of these people. Giving the all clear for one city may make perfect sense. In another city, not as much sense.
I wonder if Silver sending test balloons through the media? Is that what he's doing?
Maybe Woj
and with all these other reporters? And I would say, if I were an owner or a front office exec, if I were, you know, not quite ownership, but say you're Danny Ainge, and you were not, like, sort of in on the discussion, or you hear from, you know, through the media what the league is planning, are you sort of pissed? Like, wait, why am I finding out about this through Adrian Wojnarowski? Why do I need to hear this from him? What's going on at the league level? And then as soon as it comes out and one team says, no, we're not doing that. Our state is open, but we're not. We're not going back. And then the NBA is like, well, no, we'll push it back and we're going to continue to monitor the pandemic. And you're like, wow, that's just sloppy dealings on the part of the league office. And I'm sure they've pissed off some teams here in the last 48 hours with how they handled this.
Yeah, and it should be unison. And like last week, I drove to Pittsburgh and back. And when you come into New York City and you see where New Rochelle is, and where New Rochelle was in essence that epicenter, one of the first major outbreaks when they really had to shut the perimeter down of getting in and out of that borough, then you go into the Bronx and you see the buildings stacked upon each other, and you're talking 40, 50 story high rises. And then you drive to New York, you look down, and you think, now you understand why this is so bad here. And then you're an hour outside of it, bang, you hit the farmlands of Pennsylvania, you're rolling, you don't see buildings. You'll see a silo here. Next thing you know, you drive 20 miles. Oh, there's another farm. And you understand why it's different in certain areas. But when you talk about a respective...
I don't know what that was.
That may have been from my machine.
The farmers? Oh,
okay.
Maybe farmers were yelling.
I thought someone was playing something for us to hear. I'm like, what is that?
No.
But I think, you know, from a professional sports league, I think it's got to be done in unison. You're together. You know, you have teams, you have divisions, you have conferences. We can't give one conference an advantage and open and have them open 3 weeks before. And we're gonna cram a short season in here.
Right.
Yeah, forget about any notion of, like, solidarity. These guys are in competition with each other, but because of that, you can't create a competitive advantage by allowing one team to get back to work before another one
can't
does.
Do it. Can't do it. How about the skating? Skating's even worse. Like, those guys got to get their legs in skating shape. The hockey guys, you can't tell one of those teams to go skate for 2 weeks. 2 weeks is a world of difference. Talk to Billy Jaffe about that. What 2 weeks of skating after you haven't skated for a month and a half would do from a competitive standpoint when you got to go face somebody that only just started skating a week ago. I mean, come on.
Yep.
Makes sense.
Yeah, no, there is the competitive angle to it as well that I think that is probably going to upset some people unless the league wants to move everybody somewhere.
I tell you what, I like the day college football is setting. Like, they want to know by June 1st. And I've been talking about this. I've been telling you about that damn Brian Kelly interview from Notre Dame. And that was from, like, 2 months ago. And he's like, I'm telling you, people, you can't force us just to go play football in 4 weeks. We need a six-week ramp-up. We need to get our team together. We need to get them in shape. We need to get them with our personnel. We need to get them with our medical people to see who can handle it, who can't, what shape these guys are in. Then we actually need to practice for 4 weeks before we play a freaking game. Because Notre Dame's right there. They're against Navy in that Dublin game to kick things off Labor Day weekend prior to it. So college football, at least, I think they're all on the same page understanding we've got a target date of June 1st, and we need to make decisions by that date, or you better have something else you come up with as far as how far we're pushing this thing back.
Well, the NFL is making some contingency plans. Also, the latest on Major League Baseball. We have both of those things to get to. We'll do it coming up right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop, flop, flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
First of all, teams were surprised that the league was going to move this quickly to open up facilities starting Friday. None of them knew.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Now it's time for more of Zolak and Bertrand.
That's what you put in your mouth in the morning.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, there's, of course, the logistics, you know, if you're going to be bringing teams from cities that they don't normally spend time in into there to live there for long periods of time. There's that. There's convincing the players that they may have to be away from their families. But the number one thing that it could come down to, Kevin, is money. And I know nobody wants to hear that. And I think in the end, both parties will find a financially agreeable solution. But we have to recognize that if there are going to be no fans in the stadiums, revenues for teams are going to go down. And teams want players to take a pay cut. Players do not want to take a pay cut. They feel like teams are going to be doing just fine financially. And so there's some work that needs to be done there in order to get an agreement locked in. But we're a few weeks away from that still.
Jeff Passan, Yahoo Sports, or as he's been called around here before, Jeff Passan. Jeff Passan.
Nervous wreck.
Mike O'Brien. Poor Mike O'Brien. He'll never live that down, Jeff Passan. So, Jeff Passan has some latest, and that is, let me read directly what is the latest. He says, what is the latest in his story at ESPN.com?
Same stuff.
Yeah, this is how I felt about this story.
No kidding.
There's real stuff in the NFL story. I feel like the MLB has gotten nowhere.
No.
He says, lots and nothing. It's a contradictory existence in which the baseball world is doing everything it can to prepare for games without any firm plans in place for when or where those games will be played. That, to me, is the headline with the MLB. They got a lot of different ideas. They haven't put any of them into an actual plan. And who knows if they will. And so nearly every team is guaranteed that their baseball employees will be paid through the end of May. And he writes, that's no accident. The next month could provide a number of answers to issues baseball is considering as it plots its return. And the long-term retention of employees across the sport may depend on having a known or at least expected revenue generator. The end of May isn't a drop-dead point to have a plan in place, sources said, as much as it's a reasonable and logical one. So what he's sort of saying, and he goes on to give a little bit more detail, is you know, as Zoe likes to say, bleep or get off the pot. You've got till the end of May to figure something out here. You've got a month. Come up with some sort of plan as to whether or not you're going to have a season. And if you're realistically and, you know, logically can pull off something.
Right.
And there's ideas about. Go ahead, Zoe.
That damn hang up about, you know, well, if they're not used to playing in a certain area and you gotta uproot them and get them there and you can't bring the fan. Like, the family part of it seems like the biggest hookup. Like, and that's going to be the thing that kills it. Like, some of these players, or maybe most of them, don't want to leave their family and be sequestered like that. That has to be an all-in agreeable thing before they even start to advance things to where, okay, we could really make this thing work. Do you agree with that or not?
Yeah,
that seems like it's the biggest hang-up. Like,
yeah,
players aren't going to want to leave their families. It's going to take one superstar and say, screw this.
But, so you've said, as things start to open back up,
you know,
and people are playing it a lot more safe than they ever have before when they go out in public, I don't think that baseball players are going to say, yeah, I'm going to stay in my hotel, right?
Right. Like, but even that, say okay, we're gonna sequester you as much as we can, and you're going to start to see that, okay, you're playing in areas where there are soft openings within communities and cities, and now there might be a point 2 weeks down the road, we could start inviting your families here. Maybe your families will want to come and be around you instead of just like, nah, we're shutting you down for 4 months.
It says,
nobody's going to sign up for that.
It says here, consider a three-hub plan in a 100-game season. In July and August, with 10 teams at each hub, every team would play 2 3-game series against all of the other 9 teams in their hub. That's 54 games. With travel practically non-existent, Phoenix, Dallas, and Tampa each have 5 stadiums within an hour radius. Passan writes, that sort of schedule is eminently doable. It also offers the ability to reassess the status of the country come September. So,
it's nice for that. It's nice for that Tampa economy too. Like, you get an injection in your economy down here.
So he's saying play 54 games, and then reassess and see where things are at, because you might have to pull the plug at some point again too, and that's sort of, you know, the contingency. All right, let's try and play 54 games and go from there. But at least let's start playing some games at some point. Is what I think is what he's saying. And again, they've got all these ideas, but none of them have sort of been firmed up.
Like, we don't know how many testing things we're going to have, you know, what, a month and a half? Maybe just try and play 25 games. Then let's stop, reassess some things, see if the soft openings are working, you know?
My thought is, if you have what you think is your best-case plan, then start moving on putting together that plan, and if you can't do it, you can't do it.
I agree.
But it feels like they're stuck in the brainstorming phase here.
Yes. Yes, it's the movement of the families. And like, okay, you either want to get paid or you don't, guys. This is what we're down to here. We're going to either skip the year, you won't get paid for the year, or we just say, screw it, move the next year. And how's that going to do for your sport? How's that going to do for your free agency? You know, we want to get you back on the field. Let's try it for 25 games, and maybe we can start bringing your families in. I don't know.
And so
seems like we have better ideas than them.
To compare that to the NFL has all kinds of – they have a plan. Their plan is to start and play. And if they can't do it, they have backup plans already in place.
Well, they're lucky, too, because the season doesn't start. Sorry, Hardy.
Absolutely. You know, no, you're right about that.
They got a big advantage.
They've got a long lead up to it, but they've also got their dates, like, set in stone right now. They know when the first game is supposed to be of the season. They know when, you know, the schedules are pretty much set, even if they haven't been released entirely, and they know everything about every single game. They know when and where they're playing. With these other leagues, and I'm sure they're doing this, but, you know, this hasn't been talked about as much. I think the only way to really go about it is for them just to decide right now. It's like, okay, we've already lost X amount of games. All right, let's decide right now what are we going to do? Well, let's start with an 81-game schedule. We're going to do half a season. Okay, in order to do that, when do we need to start? We need to start it by July 1st. Okay, let's start there. First game is going to be played July 1st. What do we have to do to get every team ready to go and have an opening day of July 1st? As opposed to, well, we're thinking about calling people back in May. And no, push it way out. Push it way out right now and give yourself, you know, an attainable goal of starting it up that way. And that'll give you even more time to make your plans. And hopefully, I would say, you know, in a best case scenario, just be able to play in your own parks instead of moving everybody and everything to one of these otherwise neutral locations and trying to figure out a way to get you know, every team and every facility and every employee down living somewhere else for a period of time, you know, manage your expectations at this point. Now, we're not going to play 100 games, and we're not going to, you know, we're not going to have players back here in two more weeks. We're not going to be ready to go in June, and we're not going to be able to move everybody. Stop it, right? Scale it all way back,
right,
and make it, you know, fewer games with, you know, as little movement for the teams as possible. Now, I know, Beadle, you know what, you and I have talked about this, and the three of us have. A lot of it has to do with the actual movement around the country of teams traveling from place to place to place. I always come back to the idea that had you told these teams and the league a year ago that by next year you were going to have to consolidate your schedule and play it with all the teams in a neutral site across, you know, all teams playing on three different fields in a compressed 3-month schedule, they would say a year is not long enough to make that plan. We can't do it. What makes them think they can do it now? It's just not reasonable to think that they're going to be able to get this done.
So you don't think it's going to happen?
I don't think they're going to be playing in a neutral site with everybody leaving their home cities and playing in a few ballparks all close to each other down in Florida or anywhere else. No,
I'm with Hardy. I think baseball's done.
I don't know that it's
hockey
done,
and NBA
but
has
if it
chance.
If it See, comes, always, if any of these sports come back,
yeah,
they're going to come back playing in their own buildings.
I've always thought that going to the spring training sites or breaking them up with the Arizona spring training teams and the Florida ones makes the most sense because those are areas that the players are familiar with and are used to spending 6 weeks at every single year, and so it provides facilities that teams can be at. It also provides, you know, a better understanding of what the housing situation will be because players stay there. Some guys even own condos in the towns where they're, you know, they have long-term contracts with their team. Maybe younger players don't, and so they'd be in a hotel. But I feel like the spring training sites have something to offer that I don't think, you know, just grouping them together in three random spots does. And so the spring training sites to me have always sort of been the thing that they should play off of. Guys are used to going there. Yeah. They're familiar with the areas. Their families have been there. They probably have setups where their family has been with them there before. I don't know. That to me would seem to make the most sense. And they're in two states where things are going to be open most likely.
Yeah. If you're talking about like the contingency plans, that's the one that makes more sense than any because those aren't neutral sites. Those are their facilities. Those
Correct.
Are, you know, they have some experience playing there. They have, you know, some way of knowing what it's going to be like to get, you know, guys there and have them have places to live and all that. I just, you're still talking about, and you'd have to revamp the schedule anyway, and I get it, but try and make it as close to what you have now as possible and just, you know, chop off the first half of the season. All right, all those games that were supposed to be played from opening day through July 1st, done. That's off the schedule. Well, what about teams that were supposed to? Oh, well, we'll figure that out. Give yourself a hard start date based on the best information, the best data that you have for everybody to get back at the same time and greatly reduce the number of games that you're gonna try and get in. I don't think there's anything wrong with baseball in a season being decided on a 50% schedule.
The NFL has a contingency plan, according to Sports Business Journal yesterday, of going to an October start, mid-October start, no bye weeks, a late February Super Bowl. Those are some of the things that would be in place for the NFL. They'd move the Super Bowl until late February, and I would say maybe even March if they had to. And they are coming up with ways to, shorten the schedule. No bye weeks, which I think is not a good idea.
You're going to kill
guys. The bye weeks are important to teams. It's a very physical sport. The bye weeks are necessary. I would not do that, but the NFL always money hungry. And so I think that's a bad idea. They're getting rid of the Pro Bowl, of course. See you later. Stupid game anyway. If there's one thing I'd like to see the coronavirus kill, it would be the Pro Bowl. That would be though. Can we just kill that thing once and for all? You know, can we have something good in sports come out of this? So that would be part of their plan to push things back and go into the season. I wonder, and I haven't seen this anywhere, does the NFL have a contingency plan for starting on time and then needing to stop? That's what I wonder. Is that in place for them? If they start their season, they play 4 or 5 games, and then they're halted. What's the plan then? Curious to know.
Well, then the plan's totally blown up. You know, then you've, then it's, well, I guess we shouldn't have done this after all. You know, the contingency plan is the one that they're putting together right now. You're talking about contingencies for contingencies, and that's where you get into the idea of,
not really, because if their season starts on time, then they haven't enacted any contingency plans.
Well, yeah. That's,
you're going to find out about college football NFL, first. Yes, college football's got to find out first. College football will be the first, you know, shoot a drop here before the NFL, because their season starts before it. You know, and then it's about, you got to decide to get these kids back to school. You know, if you can't go back to school, you can't play. But that's going to be interesting.
Hardy has headlines. If you have thoughts on this, bring it to the table. 617-779-0985. Speaking of COVID-19, you know that a number of small businesses have taken out, have had access to small business loans. There's been controversy with that. And here's one more piece to the puzzle of the controversy. There was a professional sports team that took out a small business loan as part of that program. And it's a team we all hate in this town, and we'll tell you who it is next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey, don't wash the lucky socks,
rub your ball 16 times.
Yep. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
And I must say, I'm encouraged by the number of people that have paid them back. I never expected in a million years that the Los Angeles Lakers, which I'm a big fan of the team, but I'm not a big fan of the fact that they took a $4.6 million loan. I think that's outrageous, and I'm glad they've returned it, or they would have had liability. And let me just say, I'm going to be putting out an announcement this morning that for any loan over $2 million, the SBA will be doing a full review of that loan before there is loan forgiveness. So we...
Steven Mnuchin on CNBC this morning talking about loans that were given out as part of the PPP loan program. The Lakers took a $4.6 million loan because they need it. I mean,
who had the balls to fill something out, really? Who's the person in the organization that pressed send or filled out the boxes? That's what we should know. We need to know that. Who okayed that one? Moron.
Yeah, it's interesting because
like you're filling that out. You work for that organization. Like, should we be doing this? Are you sure?
Well, yeah. What if did anybody stop to say, what if someone finds out? Because think they're going to find out. Yeah.
Good thing you got it instead of my buddy who's got about 2 weeks left where he could stand on his own feet and then it's over, you know?
But by the way, the LA Lakers, you frauds. Yeah, typical Lakers pulling this crap. They're not the biggest violators of this in terms of gobbling up the money that was intended for small businesses.
Nope.
I mean, trust me, they're not at the front of the line. We talk about them because they're in sports and because, of course, they're the Lakers and we hate the Lakers. Yeah, nice work, Lakers. No, way to go. You definitely needed to try and scoop that $4.6 million. Yep, you guys are the ones that need it. What a joke. You know what? If it didn't sort of come to light, which it eventually was going to, did they think other teams were doing the same thing? That's what I wonder. Like, I bet everyone's doing this.
I don't know how.
Or the other possibility is it's like, other teams aren't smart enough to do this. Well, you know, got this money available here. Hell, we may not even have to pay it back. Did you hear about this loan forgiveness part of this?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
forget about the no-interest repayment. We might just get the money. This is awesome.
Yeah.
We could pay all the stadium workers from Staples that are losing the money with this. No one will ever know. They don't have to come out of our pocket.
I saw a report this morning from CNBC that more than 245 publicly traded companies applied for at least $905 million in loans. So the big boys are trying to gobble up the small business money. There is no doubt about that. But the Lakers, just in the sports department, of course it was the Lakers, you jerks.
Ruth Chris did it 2 weeks ago.
are the Yankees going to apply for a loan next? Like, who's next? 617-779-0985. Let's get back to your calls. Pete's in Delaware. Hey, Pete.
Hey, gentlemen. How are you?
Hey, Pete.
Before I get to my main point, leave it to the Lakers. And then, of course, they also asked the mayor of L.A. to let them in early before the stay-at-home or the stay-at-home orders lifted. So I'm sure that's going to go over really well, too. But, hey, question, as far as the sports opening up, when you see these states that are not following the CDC, like the 14-day decline, like Georgia, Texas, Oklahoma, I kind of feel a little bit for these leagues because they're in limbo because who are they getting their direction from at this point? I mean, you got states that aren't following the guidelines. You got states that are. I mean, they're like a yo-yo in this thing. I thought they'd get back, but I'm kind of questioning if the governments are adequate enough to get them back.
Well, I'm not exactly sure what you mean. So are you asking, do the leagues have their own people that are advising them on this?
Well, yeah, because, I mean, well, they're really kind of held hostage to the state governments. And you got some governments that are opening when they're not on the decline, which in a couple of weeks they could end up having to close again. It just seems that they're in limbo.
I see what you're saying, and that is, let's play this out. Okay, Georgia we know is open among other states. Oklahoma, sure. They start the league back up, and in 6 weeks' time, after things start to get moving a little bit more, there's a spike and things get shut down in particular states. New York, Boston, Philadelphia, Chicago, wherever. All of a sudden, you get teams that can't play at home.
Yeah, and here's your problem, too. When you get the massive rapid testing and you're getting all these tests and more and more and more and more people are testing, but you know that line's still the same of a positive test and people are just looking at the positive number instead of looking at the ratio of, well, actually, the number is going down based on the amount of people that are testing negative for it. So, I mean, that's the problem, too, is which data are you going to go off of? You know, we really don't
know. That's not sports calls.
I'm not sports call, but when you get the government and the state, right.
You have teams that are in different areas. The same problem you're having right now could exist again after you've started.
Right.
So they've got to probably count on, they've got to factor that in.
I think there's direct correlation to sports and society, too, because of the place you play where it may be more spread out. You know, Buffalo's not a big city. It's probably lower numbers there when you start to look at things. There's a reason they looked up in New Hampshire, right, to get the hockey going up there, not only for facilities, but, you know, it's spacious to where you don't have the amount of people that you do if you try and, say, put this thing in New York City. But it's going to be interesting. It is, because some governments are going to open, some aren't. And it's going to be tough on leagues because I think you need unison opening right across to have competitive play. You can't have unfair balance where some teams have been practicing for 2 weeks and others aren't just because you live in a different state where some of the numbers aren't as bad as in some states. So,
David's in New Bedford. Hi, David.
Hi. I wondered, I agree with the NFL on their plan to push back the start of the season and the Super Bowl. The only thing I disagree with them on is I think the teams have to have a bye week because I think you can't have them play all 16 games without having at least 1 week off. I think that could lead to injuries and other problems. And I wondered how you think that would affect the team by not having a bye week.
Totally agree, David. We both agree on that.
I think you need two bye weeks. I still think you need that Super Bowl bye week because of logistics and people ramping things up and getting plans made and trying to get travel booked and everything and just moving people around. I know 9/11 and that, you know, the year 2001 was a lot different because you missed that week and you didn't have that bye week prior to the Super Bowl. So that's sort of built in there. The league does need that there to sort of get all their bearings in place. But if you're going to push it back, it's not a big deal pushing it back. You know?
Again, they haven't said they're pushing it back. It's but, just in case they need to, they've sure. devised those plans. Andrew and Weymouth on that very same topic. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, how are you guys? First-time caller, long-time listener. So I just wanted to say, what if we shorten the preseason? You know, I mean, what if we kicked it down to two games and we went back to, like, the 1960s, right? We had a 14-game season.
Okay, 14-game season. For what purpose, though? I don't know what purpose you need that for.
Just to we'll push the start date back a little bit, you know what I mean, and see if more governments open. Then we shorten the length of the season, keep the bye week just for fatigue reasons. And
why not just extend the season two more weeks and play the Super Bowl late or play the playoffs late?
Because I would just rather see a shorter season than to have things, because if it opens a little later, you know, and maybe more governments are open, maybe teams get to practice together and they're not as separated, because you don't want teams, like the last call said, you don't want a couple teams practicing 2 weeks in advance to compared to other teams. So if you shorten the season, you start it later, then you guys have, then there's more time for practice, preseason, and less time for injuries.
Okay. I would not advocate for a shortened season just for the sake of playing it safe. You can always shorten it after the fact. You can always shorten it later, is what I would say. I would not start out with the plan of shortening the season just because you like a shorter season.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm good with what they've got so far.
If by any measure they have to postpone the start by a couple of weeks, then you push everything back a couple of weeks. I'm not saying the NFL is going to be immune to any of this. You know, we've seen it, you know, have such a devastating effect so far on all these other seasons. And, you know, maybe we're foolish to think that they're going to get all their games in complete with a bye week and that everything is, you know, just going to be A-OK, you know, come August and September. But, you know, pushing it back a couple of weeks doesn't necessarily mean you have to cut games out either. Yeah, I don't see how one necessarily comes with the need to do the other.
Hardy, we've got a question for Zoe, and that is, were you lying to me then, or are you lying to me now?
That's
a real
Poolism
question.
Right,
that's
there.
The Sid Pool question that we will pose to Zoe.
I hate this game.
And we'll do that coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
This is great mayonnaise. Like, this got a little, it's not like Miracle Whip tangy, you know what I'm saying? Like that sweetness. Because if you have too much Miracle Whip, I think it's a little too much.
Let me just say that the people that are Cane's mayonnaise people, and Cane's is obviously a Boston brand, New England brand.
It is?
Yes.
I didn't even know this.
Yes. I can tell you that in my wife's family, her aunt, who doesn't live in New England anymore, but when she's here, that is one of the things she will take back home with her.
I gotta grab
some Cane's mayonnaise. And I'm like, this happened the first time years ago. I'm like, what? That was this week. That was yesterday. In talking about Cane's mayonnaise. Zoe tweeted over the weekend that he had tried Cane's mayonnaise and that he really enjoyed it and that it was a discovery he had made over the weekend.
Right, right.
We learned yesterday that was could not be true because of this. In what year was it, 2015, Jim?
2015. This was November 25th, 2015. We were saying somebody had written in and said, I've heard Zoe talk about Cane's mayo before.
And
I think he's full of it. And then, they provided us with the date that he
people
had spoken about it. We're like,
right,
how could you know? Well, it turns
let's hear
out.
2015 again. We played it yesterday. Let's play it again.
Mayo or Miracle Whip?
Oh, mayo. I don't mess with that Miracle Whip stuff. Mayo all the way, man.
You know what I kind of acquired a taste for is Cane's mayonnaise.
Yeah, that's a New England thing.
It's got a little kick.
That's a New England thing. Okay, that was 2015 on Cane's mayonnaise. So four and a half years ago.
I mean, no. Sorry, Jim. Jim, jump that. Jim.
Yeah, jump that, Jim.
Jump it, Jim. Jump it. All right, let's go back. Okay, that's 2015. Now let's hear another clip that another listener.
Well, this
these
okay,
people
so
are
this,
sick. They're unbelievable.
This was emailed to me yesterday.
Yeah.
And, you know, who knows? Who knows what you're going to get? All this is an email that came from Matthew J. Cornack with the subject line, Zoe is lying.
Yep, you're dead.
And it was
kid.
A video attached to it. I'm like, okay, let's click on the video. Here's the sound from that video.
The mayonnaise, Cane's is the gold standard for
Cane's
mayonnaise.
Cane's good. It's good on a sandwich. It really is. It gives you a little something extra. If you pile your sandwich.
I'm convinced, David.
With a lot of vegetables. Like, I like pickles, lettuce, and onions.
Yeah.
And you put the Cane's on top and you gloop it on. You get on top that, just that spongy lettuce with the, gets a little, you get a little onion in there, some pickle. There's nothing like it, man.
I'm guessing that New England is like the epicenter, Dave, of the people that prefer Cane's.
Yeah.
I suppose it is, but we've got good palates around here. We can appreciate good flavors, you know?
All right,
we
Dave,
know
appreciate
what food
it.
Is. We know what good food is. All right, take care, guys. Bye.
All right, see you.
Bye, Dave.
It is. I got a buddy who lived in Florida. He'd come up here and
he took it home with him.
He took jars of Cane's mayonnaise and his bags home with him. Yeah.
Such a weird
Can't
thing.
Get it down there.
Talk of mayonnaise again.
And I went on to tell the story again about, you know, my wife's aunt in Pennsylvania who's taking it home in 2018.
What is this? What's the movie, Zoe, where Mel Gibson gets triggered by something and they know he pops up on the grid when he goes to buy a copy of The Catcher in the Rye? Like some conspiracy movie. This is some kind of mind control with you two. Somebody mentions Cane's mayonnaise,
yes,
and then you are, it's like a Pavlovian response.
Yeah.
You tell the story about,
because
oh yeah, I tried
I
it for the
no
first
clue.
Time, and then right. Beetle brings up his aunt.
Here's Not the honest God truth. Here's the honest God truth. I thought my family that I married into was strange because my brother-in-law, his name is Tim.
No. Let's
lived
go,
in Florida.
Let's,
wasn't my
let's
buddy.
Focus,
it was my brother-in-law, Tim, but I wouldn't say buddy. And my mother-in-law would, when they would fly, they fly back and forth to Florida all the time. They live in Boca Raton. And they would pack their bags with two jars of this Cane's mayonnaise. I'm like, what the freak are you people doing? People are sick inches by. They don't sell it down there. It's acquired taste. They don't get it. I don't even want to taste it. It's so stupid. Dumbest thing I ever heard. I only like Hellmann's. So you hear this enough, then you start to believe it, which I've never tasted at that point. So I was full of crap telling you this time when we were sitting at that rink. That I had a sandwich with Cane's.
So on two
really
different occasions, you lied about having had Cane's and it being good.
I was a liar then. I was not a liar this weekend.
Okay. Now, I'm giving Zoe the benefit of the doubt on this. I have a theory.
Because when we do a show for hours, I play along a little bit. You know, and it's part acting, part realness, part
really?
Part
you just make it up and lie?
No, Zoe, my explanation is going to paint you in a better light.
Okay.
You don't even know that you're lying. You legitimately forget things.
I do.
A lot.
I do.
And it's got to be great being you. Think about this. You get to try things for the first time all the time.
Yep.
The same things over and over again, whether it's Cane's mayonnaise or a Coors Light. Man, I never had a Coors Light. This is like, it tastes like the Rockies. This is awesome because for whatever reason, you know, I'm no doctor. What do I know? But for whatever reason, you forget a lot of stuff. And which
also
is ironic because you've got this photographic memory at times. But for other stuff, you just literally don't remember. So for you, you know, every day is like Christmas, whether it's trying
Christmas.
Chunky peanut That's butter or Cane's mayonnaise or, you know, some martini drink that you've had 100 times before, but you don't remember. So it's great. It's all brand new.
Stuff the all is the right way, baby.
Yeah. I emailed that guy back, Beetle, the one who sent me the video.
Yeah.
It just, you know, with the questions we all have. Why do you have this?
What is your
What the
problem?
Hell? What's wrong with you? What's going on? Here's what he said.
What'd he say?
My buddies and I were hammered one night making drunk sandwiches. When we checked the fridge, all we had was Hellmann's, which triggered me to say, if you don't have Cane's, you're not a real New Englander. Really pissed off one of my friends. Long argument. Almost got in a fist fight. After a few weeks, I was listening to you guys, and this came up. so I took a video of the TV to prove to my friend I was right. Last sentence is, weird thing is, I don't even like mayo that much.
So he wasn't even the caller?
So
no.
He
got in a drunken fight one night with his friends over Cane's mayo, and then a couple of weeks later we were talking about it, so he videotaped his TV and said, see, it is the best.
All right, now, I don't know if I've ever said this before or remember saying it about Duke's mayonnaise. I don't think we've ever talked about Duke's mayonnaise. Am I correct? Because I don't want any freaking videos coming up. Zoe's a liar. I got like 17 emails sent yesterday saying that you've got to try Duke's mayonnaise. It is the king of the crop. Top of the heap. A number one.
What is Duke's?
And where would you get it? Anywhere? I mean, it's really only a Kraft, Hellman's, Cane's type of town here. You know what I mean? What other mayonnaise brands are there except for like the generic brands? That,
I don't know. Now you got your excuse to go to the store today and look.
I'm going anyway. I already got to go. I got to get that septic Nick stick.
Styptic pencil.
Yeah, styptic pencil.
You've already got your excuse, so you might as well go shopping for mayonnaise.
I got to get dirt. I got to get some bags of dirt. Get some spots I got to take care of.
According to the Wikipedia, which is never wrong, Duke's mayonnaise contains more egg yolks than other mayonnaise products and no added sugar, giving it a tangy flavor.
So it's spoiled. Spoiled egg yolk.
Doesn't say anything about it.
How do you get, when you start to get that tang, when stuff starts to spoil, you can smell fish. Yeah, a little tangy. It's starting to spoil in the sun.
But it is southern. It's a South Carolina.
It is
mayonnaise.
Really, huh?
Okay. All right, then. Well,
so I lied. I was a liar first two times.
Okay.
I don't think you're lying.
I actually liked eating it this weekend. I'm like, that tastes pretty good. You guys brought the wrong mayonnaise. Look at this.
Phone lines are open, 617-779-0985. We started the day talking about the Patriots receiver depth. We will revisit the topic right after these headlines. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.